Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
WEEI Afternoons on a Friday, spring afternoon, and I can already see that Nick Fitzy Stevens has a spring in his step because he is dancing all around behind his microphone. He must be excited to talk about the Boston Celtics and Bill Chisholm and Wick Grosbeck, and that's what you just heard right there. Wick Grosbeck was on the Greg Hill show this morning from their little snow day out at Wachusett.
And
If there was ever the bracket, now we didn't do that bracket. I'm sure it's been done somewhere, but slogan jingle bracket all time.
Oh my God,
that's
dude,
on there.
Why didn't we do the local jingle bracket?
Oh, I figured it had already been done.
Has it I don't not? Know if it has. And if you know what? It's actually, I think, so catchy, so intrinsically New England, that everybody wants to vote like 99 versus Water Country.
Yeah, I was going to say Water Country's GOAT.
There's so many. The Block Island Ferry.
They got right on the Block Island Ferry.
Oh, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Oh, really?
No joke.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a famous one down in the South Coast, southeastern Massachusetts
and
Rhode Island.
You guys live in the 51st state. You realize that, right?
Well, you know it's a weird area.
They're like, Canadian?
I grew up for years having both Boston and Providence TV station, so I had double of everything, and I thought everybody had that access.
You
to
did?
Like, oh, yeah. And it was the great, and then they started to change it, cable, and when it became digital and HD TV, it started to change. But I grew up with two ABCs, two NBCs, two CBSs, two Foxes, and it was great for a football fan because sometimes you'd get different games, and I didn't know how that worked at all back then, but I didn't care. But sometimes you'd get like a different game broadcast on the two different networks. So
no kidding.
No wonder
you're
so
the Providence
spoiled.
Affiliate. No, that's really cool because the Providence affiliate may pick up a different once you guys
yep.
run the Pats. If there's a second game, you could be watching back then Redskins Giants on one, and you could be watching Cowboys Niners
yep.
on another.
Exactly.
Oh, that's actually a sneaky benefit to South Coast life. That said, it is like another state.
It is, and it's far away, and it is literally on the coast. Also, that's where I listen to our friends down at 103.7 down in Providence because sometimes I lose the signal here at 93.7, and I switch on over and listen to those peeps down
sometimes
there.
Sometimes when
appreciate
I'm also,
you.
When I'm driving in as well, sometimes I'm in the third part or fourth state of Massachusetts, Western Mass. Love the good people of Springfield. You got 105. One out that way, and then of course, believe it or not, 103.7 105.5. My apologies, but then 103.7 is actually stronger on the Mass Pike than 93.7.
Oh, yeah. But we have a wonderful network here at WEEI.
Fabulous, the best network ever.
Fitzy, we're gonna have a free flowing Friday, whatever you want to call it. We're gonna have some fun. We got a lot to talk about. We got Mike Giardi at 3:30. Lou Merlone, I think, at 4:30. We're trying
about
to. Oh, it is confirmed. Lou Merlone at 4:30, and at 5:30 we'll do our expanded odds and ends, so we get an action-packed show. Before we get in on the, I don't normally do this, but we just had the crossover with Jones and Keefe, and they played one of the funniest arguments, debates that I've heard on their show since they've gotten back together. And this little debate, I'm going to go to a phone call to let the people chime in on this early in the show, but I need to get your opinion first. Is a catcher an infielder?
Yes.
I agree. He is not an infielder.
Well, what are you talking about? What is he? Does he?
He's a catcher.
Okay, he's a catcher. But
pitchers and catchers report
home plate
to spring training.
Home plate is part of the infield. Like the
no, it isn't. He plays outside of home plate. He is not in the field of play during the game.
Is it international waters?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's part of the diamond, not the infield.
Yes. So Dan Ball is a catcher, an infielder.
No, sir.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
We're not doing that. We're not doing that terrible debate. And let's go now to John in Martha's Vineyard, who has time apparently during the offseason here to debate whether a catcher is an infielder. John, what are your thoughts? Catcher, infielder?
A catcher is an infielder. Once he takes the field and straps on his gear, then he's part of every play that they make, especially in regards to an infielder. If there's a hit and a guy's coming home, then he's part of that play. If they can do it good enough, then he's going to catch the ball in the catcher's mitt and make the tag.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the call, John. I think that's a weak-ass argument. Not going to lie to you. Thanks for joining the show early. Thanks for hanging on during the crossover. Because I would argue a center fielder is not an infielder. He's an outfielder. And when there's rundowns, he joins the rundown fun at second base. Does that make him an infielder by trade because he has to cover second base sometimes? Or they have these weird rotations and he sneaks in for a pickoff move? Does that make him an infielder? No, he's an outfielder. And the catcher's not involved in every play because when there's a hit, the pitcher throws the ball, the batter hits it, it never reaches the catcher. It goes to the shortstop, to the first baseman, boom, 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 back to the pitcher. He wasn't involved. He is not an infielder. He's his own separate entity, but that is not what we're going to debate all day long. We're going to debate the Boston Celtics.
Holy
we're going to debate the Patriots free agency. But first, Fitzy, how do we start every Friday?
With you talking for 10 minutes.
Holy smokes, do you complain a lot and bitch. I'm used to it by now, though.
Who won the week? Who won the week, of course.
In Boston sports. And I'm going to start this off because I think it's the most obvious one we've ever had since you and I have been doing this for years on weekends, podcasts, everything.
And let me just say that this was of the probably 50 to 60 times we have done this, this may be one of the most obvious, if not maybe the most obvious, correct?
Well, since we have different answers, I don't know how obvious they can be, but we both feel they're obvious. But for me, it is the man we heard from coming into this radio program, the man you heard a full interview from this morning on the Greg Hill Show. And if you didn't, go to your Odyssey app, download that, and listen to the full Wick Grosbeck interview. I think Wick won the week. This is a guy that somehow bought the Celtics a quarter of a century ago, sort of, with his dad's money. Really, his dad bought the Celtics and let him kind of run it and be the front man for them. He won a couple titles, including most recently last summer. He then found out, well, dad's going to sell the team because he wants to recoup the billions and billions and billions of dollars he has in equity in the team. And this week, they got a record bid for that. It's going to approach $6 plus to $7 billion, so he's going to get his share.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy they sold it to is not only paying him all the equity that he has earned as an inheritor from his father, but also going to allow him to stick around, be the governor for 3 years for the team, apparently maybe still be the spokesman to some level for the team.
Would you call him the auxiliary face of the team? Tatum, of course, being face numero uno.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he is. It feels like he's the face of the team. He's been ahead of Pags, which is why I think there's a little bit of Taylor Swift bad blood.
We were talking about iconic New England jingles. Spags was one of them. Pags is a really sad song now.
Yeah, yeah. But Wick is not sad about anything. He gets money. He gets to keep doing the job he loves. He gets to keep pursuing banners and titles and duck boats and all those things. He also emphasized this morning, this sale won't go through until probably July. I know how the NBA works. They don't let you do much during the playoffs. So he's going to be on the podium collecting another Larry O'Brien trophy if the Celtics win the title, not Bill Chisholm, despite him having to get $7 billion ready to buy this team. I think Wick Grosbeck is living the perfect life right now. Quite literally, the perfect life. He was also free-flowing with his comments this morning about everything, right to the point where he ripped the Clippers' new arena. He's like, it's fine. It's fine. We're fine, too. We make a lot of money with our little arena here. We have a nice agreement with the Bruins. So Wick Grosbeck, he won the week financially and in every other form and fashion.
He is a huge, huge winner this week, and there is no doubt in my mind that he is doing what's in the best interest of Team Grosbeck, his relatives, his dad, himself as well. Good for Wick, and the fact that he's going to stick around, I think, probably provides, and I'm sure this was part of the negotiation, Andy, comfort, a little security blanket, some emotional connection to Celtics past, because he has been this, quote, governor, shepherd, owner for, what, 23 years now? So people don't want to just have somebody turn the keys over to a new guy, even if he is from Massachusetts, on the overnight as well. And so that leads me, yes, 100% is Wick a winner of the week? Hell yeah, he is. In looking Broadview and skate in my lane, I'm going to say that Celtics fans are the big winners this week, because not only is your team making their way, I see you taking your little victory lap because more text messages are coming in saying that a catcher is not an infielder.
Well, that's part of it. He's definitely not an infielder, but I'm taking a victory lap because as a Celtics fan, you just said I was part of the winners of the week.
You are. You are a massive winner of the week. Yes, everybody. The people who go to every game, those of us who watch them from home, guys that wear Jaylen Brown jerseys at the beach and on their boat when they're making burgers for the kids.
Sun's out, guns out.
I love your Fed Albert voice. It's excellent. Celtics fans, like, you guys need to know this team is not going to sell off. You're not going to go and wade into the murky, unsettled waters of John Henrydom, where it's like, I gave you your championships. Aren't you happy now? And then they'll pull back 30-35%, just remain competitive, still make sure that the asses are in the seats at the Garden, but not actually go for it the way they have the last couple of years. It seems to me like old Billy the Chiz and the new guys that are coming in as the owners, that's okay, we don't have to dump it, I made sure.
It's Chiz.
Yes, Chisholm.
Okay,
yes,
Chiz. Just making sure. Chiz. It's the man's it's name the way, and
the way, it's the way fancy. It's the way fancy people say cheese.
Yes.
Yes, may I have some of your Chiz?
Just clarifying in case, you know, somebody went through a tunnel, it broke up for a minute, and they're like, what did Fitzy just say on the radio?
Wow, Fitzy's working blue. It's only 2:14.
I mean, I know we said free-flowing Friday, kind of go where it goes, but let's,
This is the show the people want, Andrew. I think Celtics fans are huge winners. They're competitive now. They're going to continue to be competitive. Somebody with deep pockets who's a local guy and a dedication to and someone who bleeds green is taking over as the primary owner of the Celtics. You guys get it good. And I see the Celtics staying competitive for the foreseeable future in a long time to come. And that makes me happy.
Yeah, I think Celtics fans should be happy. I do think they should. And we're going to get into more of the cuts from Wick as we move through this first hour here on WEEI Afternoons. They should also be, I would guess, cautiously optimistic. We're going to hear from your boy, Chisholm, the new owner, Bill Chisholm, the new owner of the Boston Celtics, or soon to be new owner, and his pursuit of banners and all that comes with all of that. I also thought Wick kind of put a few things out there that could cause concern. And then going back to my guy, Wick, who on paper looks like he nailed the hell out of this transaction, got a record amount of money for any North American sports franchise, gets to keep his job, keep doing what he loves to do. I do believe when the Mavericks were sold by Mark Cuban, they sold us this same bill of goods that he was going to continue to run the team, and he doesn't anymore. So sometimes these relationships that are promoted and reported kind of peter out. They don't work out quite as well as we expect them to or for as long as we expect them to. Yes, Diz.
Mark Cuban famously said just recently about the Luka trade, like he'd give up his wife to keep Luka.
Correct.
So he had no power in that deal.
He let
you
know.
There have been more articles, Andy, Stiz, Dan, audience, recently about, like, I got into one yesterday about, like, the sad demise of Mavs fandom and how the city is just broken right now. Like, they're screwed. They're just like, they're in such disarray. Like, they don't even know what to say for themselves.
And that's a cautionary tale. When a sale happens, it can happen with the best intentions, the best plans. But, you know, what Of Mice and Men said, that, you know, it can fall apart very quickly. That's not what they said. I was paraphrasing for a modern audience.
I was going to say, I sorry, would pet Steinbeck him and love fans, him and name him George.
Sorry to my English teachers out there. I cleaned it up, moderned it up for the Steinbeck audience. But, you know, Dallas now without their star, without their former owner, who was going to continue to be an impactful presence on the organization. And I think there's going to be concerns about that for the Celtics until it is proven that is not a concern, right? I think that's a natural pessimism or cynicism for Celtics fans. But right now, it all sounds great. You have a super fan owner. You had a super fan owner who's staying to be a super fan governor. You have a new super fan owner who watches every game. He's going to be back. I don't think he's going back to the North Shore, right? He's going to stick around here. He's not going back to Georgetown, where he's from. He's going to have a place more locally to the Garden and to the inner workings of Boston. And it all sounds great. It really does. But sometimes things play out differently in reality, I guess I'll say. But for a Celtics fan, this is better than the alternative. You know, this could have been some
outside financial conglomerate or like five different, like somebody from, I don't know, the United Arab Emirates, somebody, a multi-billionaire from, I don't know, Brazil, Mexico. Like, I don't know if Carlos Slim has ever wanted to buy a basketball team. I don't know what his interest would be. But if one of the richest people in the world just goes, let's add that to the portfolio. How can you be guaranteed that they're going to take the care of it that somebody from New England would, right, who grew up watching Celtics?
Right. Or Bill Chisholm, quite honestly, if he, say you found out, oh, he grew up in the Bay Area in California. He did this, he did that. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page. He made a lot of money in the investment world. You'd be more skeptical. The fact that he was born here, he went to college here, and they're selling you on the fact that he's a lifelong Celtics fan is palatable. And you don't know enough. You don't have a track record. He's not John Henry. And you go back to, hey, isn't he the guy that tore down the Marlins? Isn't he the guy that cares more about, who ended up being a really good owner for a really long time for the Boston Red Sox and winning a lot?
Jeffrey Loria type situation where he comes in, makes the team good, gets his title, adds it to the resume, tucks that into the portfolio, gets like the fancy brass plaque and the trophy, and then just sells it off because he says he did that. And those people sometimes like get bored with it and move along. Like, we need somebody who wants, like, this needs to be their end game, their goal, and their everything.
Also, I think we also need to say that Bill Chisholm won the week in his own right. He had to spend a lot of money to win the week. He bought the week, I guess you could say. But if he truly is a lifelong fan of the Boston Celtics, the local boy makes good, was able to make billions and turn it into ownership, stewardship, whatever you want to call it, of your favorite team. Oh, he won the week. He absolutely won the week. If he gets to now watch every single game courtside because it's his team, he absolutely won the week. But he also had to work very hard for a very long time, I would assume, to collect the billions of dollars necessary to do that. So Bill Chisholm also on the table. 617-779-7937. Who do you believe won the week in Boston sports? Is it you, the listener, the viewer, the Celtic fan? Is it Wick Grosbeck? Is it Bill Chisholm? Are we missing out on somebody? Could it be Brad Stevens, who's been treated quite well in all the kind words and statements of how great he is? Joe Mazzulla, their partners in the Celtics. Maybe it's Brown and Tatum. They could stick together. Maybe we'll have an extended fun run here of the Celtics. Who won the week? 617-779-7937. I did want to squeeze in one more phone call before we get to our guy Dan Ball. Let's go to Mike in the car, who has an opinion on this great catcher debate of 2025. Yes, where'd Mike go?
Did you hang up on him, Andy?
I think it's possible because I clicked on him and he disappeared, so that might be on me. I don't know. I'm still work in progress here.
Did you do that on purpose?
I didn't. Well, because he said he was an infielder, so it was going to go against my argument, but my assumption was I was going to shoot holes through his argument quite easily because it's quite easily done.
There's a number of people. I got to say, the text line has been alive ever since you carried that debate over from the crossover on Middays into our program, like 10, 20, 30, 40. Like the whole entire idea of a catcher, like it's spurred a great debate right now. I would say it's probably coming in. I know it's not a show poll question, but I would probably say it's coming in 60-40. A catcher is not an infielder.
Okay, well, we'll continue to debate that, talk about that, sprinkle it in as the show goes along. But as I said, Celtics talk up next. We're going to talk Wick Grosbeck, his comments, Bill Chisholm, his comments. And then as the day rolls on, Mike Giardi, 3:30, Lou Maloney, 4:30. It's action-packed. It's Friday. Who knows where it's going to go? Fitzy's happy and giggling in the background.
I'm laughing because somebody in New Hampshire wrote, I love this debate, you guys, and also a hot dog is a taco.
Oh, son of a bitch. Wow. Dan Ball, take it away. Tell me what's trending.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Wick Grosbeck on the Greg Hill Show this morning saying a lot in very few words. Now, we'll go on. There's more to the answer, and we'll play that in a minute here on WEEI Afternoons. But he said it's not the financial penalties, it's the basketball penalties of the second apron that are the issue in the NBA for a team like the Celtics that are past that apron for next year. You've heard all about these $500 million payrolls and all these things that are a consideration. They were going to be a consideration if the Grosbeck family kept owning the team, and they are certainly a consideration for Bill Chisholm and the new ownership group with Wick Grosbeck as a partner in this operation as it moves forward. So, Fitzy, were you intrigued by that? Because I do feel like Wick clarified something that most in the media, or even most fans, calls we take, analysts have said, well, you just can't pay that every year. You're going to lose money, $500 million, blah, blah, blah.
Taxes are impossible on it. It's going to be a losing enterprise. They'll be in the red the whole time.
And he kind of, I think, accurately, or maybe not. I mean, we can debate where he went, but he emphasized the issues with the second apron in a different light. So let's hear that. Let's hear the rest of that answer, Stiz, and then we'll debate if this is the truth or is this some word games being played by Wick Grosbeck.
Okay, the new CBA was designed by the league to stop teams from going crazy. And they decided that it's not just good enough to go after the wallets, because then the fans are like, hey, you know, find somebody who can afford to spend, whatever, $500 million a year or whatever it is. The basketball penalties mean that it's even more of a premium now to have your basketball general manager, your basketball president, be brilliant and lucky, because you've got to navigate, because you can't stay in the second apron. Nobody will. I predict for the next, you know, 40 years of the CBA, no one's going to stay in the second apron more than 2 years. So we have Brad Stevens, the reigning executive of the year, and thank God we do. He's the one that really brought us this championship with his brilliant moves. I mean, many other people, but Brad is forefront, and he's looking at this, and he's going to extend our window and make it work. I believe he will, and we'll find out in June and July what he decides to do.
So what was your reaction to that, Fitzy? When you heard that answer, how did it play in your big old head?
It is a big old head, too. There's a lot of room up there.
Big old hat on top of it, too.
I got a custom order them, baby.
Like a salad bowl.
You could do a lot of things. That was the worst thing when I left football at Braintree High School. My coach said, hey, Stevens, now that you're done with your super-sized helmet, maybe we can use it as a punch bowl and throw a patty.
Oh, that's bullying these days.
It was back then, too, but that's okay. It made me who I am. Well, maybe that wasn't so good. Anyway, first thing that comes to mind is, wow, maybe the person who is most integral to the continued success of the Boston Celtics this season, next season, and for years to come isn't Bill Chisholm, old Billy the Chiz. Maybe it's not Joe Mazzulla. Maybe it's not Jason Tatum. Brad Stevens really swings a big blank around the offices of the Boston Celtics at the Auerbach Center right across the street from us here in beautiful, safe Brighton, Mass. He is, and this is why he was also mentioned, I believe, in Wick's statements yesterday, in Bill Chisholm's statements as well. Like, Brad Stevens behind the scenes is an even bigger player, an even bigger, I'm going to say, like, he's like, He's like the sneaky gangster behind the scenes that runs the whole operation. I mean, we know he's the president of basketball operations, but Brad Stevens really plays a huge role in all this. And second, it was kind of a good basketball lesson for all of us. Like, it's once you get up to the top, when you spend your way up there and you earn that spot, it's tough to stay up there. And it's not just because everyone is swinging for the king. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So there's the financial that everybody has talked about. Now you have Wick saying, no, you're missing the point. The finances are not the thing. They actually put these penalties in place because people would ignore the finances and maybe just keep plowing through. But the flip side of it is, and he certainly foretold what could be an interesting summer, hopefully post banner number 19, where he almost painted himself as an observer. We all just get to sit back and see what Brad's going to do with this basketball team. I personally can't wait to see what he does with the team that I still own and maybe will still own when he's making those moves and will still be running in the future. You're right. Brad Stevens, I asked the question yesterday when they listed him as a partner. Maybe he's more than a partner. Maybe he's the managing partner of the Boston Celtics, because it sounds like Wick is like, wait till you see what Brad's going to do. I'm going to be with you, getting my popcorn, just watching and learning what we're going to do to this roster.
Like, what you want? Like, NBA coaches now get paid a pretty, pretty penny. What do you think Brad Stevens is making to basically handle all the financial, basketball operations, scouting, contract, every other detail, it seems like, funnels through Big Bad Brad? He must be taking in a pretty penny.
Oh, yeah. I think he's making tens of millions of dollars in that Belichickian role of power that he seemingly has. But my question and my pushback with this is, so forget the money, basically. Wick says. He says, fixate on the basketball limitations. Oh, you can't trade. And if you do trade, you got to match up salary perfectly. You can't add up salary or stack salary. And you don't have the mid-level exception and all these different things. But if your roster is that good, what are all these moves you're looking to make? If you want to keep your roster together, and if you're telling me the hundreds of millions of dollars in penalties are not an issue, and you have a roster that wins the title. Let's just fast forward to June and the Celtics win the title again. Why do you have to make moves? If everybody's healthy, they're all under contract. Everybody, it was the whole story last year. They were able to sign, re-sign, keep the band together. Sam Hauser's back. We already had Pritchard on a contract. Drew Holiday, Porzingis. Why do you feel limited? What moves are you limited from making? Why do you need to change the roster? You've kept the entire organization together for 2 years in a row. They've won the title twice. Wouldn't you just keep the organization together again for a third year in a row if money's not the issue?
If it's possible, I don't see why you would possibly want to break things up. And I know, who is it? You floated yesterday. Well, you could always trade Porzingis if you need to, if you got to start finding some ways to relieve yourself of salary. Drew Holiday, obviously, would be another prime candidate as well.
But why do you need to relieve yourself of salary?
They said they don't, but right. they might be saying that, but then they still may want to, and they'll find a basketball reason for it. But there could be some behind the scenes. There could be some front of center rhetoric going on right now while there's some true behind the scenes salary based fiscal manipulating that's going to end up going on. Like, you just heard Wick say, like, you can't stay in the second apron. No team is going to stay there forever, which means that you're just going to be living in penalties and eating at their bottom line. They are, even though they're going to tell us like what we want to hear, like, oh, we're going to throw whatever dollars we can. We're going to throw green at green to keep winning for the green. They are still businessmen. Like, you can tell me it's a passion play all you want, but they do still eventually have a bottom line, right?
They do, I'm sure. I mean, I don't really know if they do. They got boatloads of money and billions of dollars. Maybe they don't really have a bottom line. And
$20 beers.
Elsewhere in the interview, he said they're top three in revenues in the NBA without owning the arena, without, you know, that building that we'll talk about in a little bit. But I just go back to, because I read something very interesting. I'm not going to pretend that I understand all the second apron and the penalties and all the financial ramifications and all that. But I read something from one, and I apologize, who it might be, Adam Himmelsbach from the Globe, whoever, that if you were able to find a taker for Drew Holiday, that right there would basically save you like $100+ million. His salary.
I read the same tweet. I can't remember who it was, but yeah.
And like that would bring you below the second apron. That would kind of cure all that ails your books financially. And if that's true, coming after a year where we've all talked about, is Drew Holiday okay? He doesn't look great. Oh, he's got the old mallet finger. He's not shooting great. He doesn't look like, is he getting older? I don't.
Who's going to want him, though?
The god that is Brad Stevens has to figure that out. That's why he makes the big bucks and figures out these deals. But I'm just saying, based on those numbers and what we've seen from Drew Holiday, him leaving to me is not a Marlins teardown. It's not any like, Chisholm took over and ripped. No, it was like, that guy's making a lot of money. He's costing us even more money. He's costing us the ability to make moves. And we wouldn't miss him that much if we moved on from him. Should we just move on from him? Would that just be a good basketball move, not a second apron specific move? So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch this over the next, 6 months, because Wick just sort of put Brad in the crosshairs for the summer. Basically, he said July. What are we going to see from Brad? What's he going to do? It's interesting. I don't know if I totally believe him. I guess that's my short answer, where he says it's not the money.
I kind of just can't believe that the new owner's going to come in and say, like, I spent $6 billion, I'm worth over 10, but I'm willing to lose a couple hundred million every year just so there's a chance I can hoist the Larry O'Brien, ride a duck boat, and have a free pizza waiting for me at halftime, King of Pizza, every time I make my way down the causeway. Like, sorry, it's still business. You're coming in on a team that has already spent out the wazoo. You're going to be spending out the wazoo now. And they may also look like, let's just look at it from a basketball perspective. Forget about out of house alternatives. They may look at the roster and say, we kind of have 10 starter, or at least 9 or 10 people that could start on NBA teams. We play a short rotation in the postseason. Like, we may not need all these guys. We might be able to just go get some more draft picks for a couple of years from now, when maybe some of these guys get a little bit older, or we have to start replenishing the cabinet and ensuring depth, if you know what I mean.
And then the other issue I would have if I'm Bill Chisholm, because Wick said he probably won't officially take over until July. It'll be after the finals. Whatever happened, happened. Let's say they win the title. Let's say they win back-to-back titles, but it's Wick up on the stage, and Bill Chisholm is just sort of a fan, a bystander. They'll talk to him, but he's not really the owner yet. He doesn't get... Does he want to...
I got to put him up there on the back, Andy.
Maybe, but what if it falls through? If he's not the owner yet, and then you put him up there and it falls through, you end up with this weird historical blip in time kind of thing.
Snapshots with just a little circle on his face. Then there was Bill Chisholm on
right. The
stage.
And
but
who? Why?
And Pags is going to be like, I told you we had the best offer.
And so let's just say he's not really central figure in the championship, and then he takes over in July. Does he want to take over, and the first thing he oversees is Brad Stevens retooling the roster? He doesn't really get credit for the title. He wasn't the owner yet. He wants to win a title. He said that. He'd do anything for banners. He wants to be paid in banners in the same way Wick was. So I think he's going to want to continue to keep this roster together and be the perfect team and pursue championships when he takes over in July. So I think that's a factor in here as well. If I pay $7 billion at some point, I want to get to hold the damn trophy on a stage. Yes, it is.
And if we don't go back-to-back this year, how much of an impact do you think that has going forward?
Oh, I think it'll drive him to want to keep it together. I don't think you'll see a teardown. So I think if Bill Chisholm, if this legitimately goes beyond the finals, I think you're going to get another year of this team guaranteed, because I think he wants to win and has his name and sort of stamp on a title.
And if we don't?
I buy that, but Stiz, Andy, Dan, etc. I think if they, let's play out a war game that is potential, has some potential likelihood. Let's say they get to the finals, they play the Thunder, and that speed and the youth of the Thunder, it's not like the Celtics are an old team, save for Horford and the Zinger. Well, Holiday's kind of old too. Okay, it's a nice mix of young guys.
Well, they just
veterans.
Aged quickly.
Yeah, damn. I thought it was fresh. Thought I cocooned that action, but I didn't. So let's say they get to the finals and the fresh legs of the youth and the tenacity of the Thunder get the best of them in 6 or 7 games. I wouldn't be surprised. Brad is very, he's clinically analytical and he's kind of cold and calculating. And he will make a move to, pardon this word I'm making up on the fly, youthify the team if he feels like he needs to a certain degree, to keep up with a team that is fast, young, awesome. Oh, and by the way, has umpteen picks to come.
No, I don't disagree with that, and I think that would be a pursuit of getting back to championship caliber. And I think Bill Chisholm would sign off on that. He seems to be sort of in love with the idea of Brad Stevens, just like Wick is. And that would be in pursuit of a title. I just don't think it would be a teardown. And I think Bill Chisholm, when he takes over legitimately, fully financed, signed off on, is going to want a title that falls under his regime. And I think that may benefit Celtics fans moving forward. Moving forward here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to continue to talk about Wick Grosbeck and his comments to the Greg Hill Show. Maybe the most interesting comment, some of us believed immediately the Celtics would look into getting their own building. That's where you make your money. That's how you could go from $7 billion valuation to $9 billion like that. Well, Wick Grosbeck said, not so fast, my friend. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. Celtics owner Wick Grosbeck this morning on the Greg Hill Show, where they were out at Wachusett Mountain. I think we've stumbled, Fitzy, here on WEEI Afternoons into a little game of Do You Believe Him with Wick Grosbeck. And I think that's great to say. It's also something I would say if I was in a business relationship with a building and a landlord and another team and wanted to continue to have a good relationship with them while I was looking at my opportunities to build my own building and make more money and do different things in different areas. So, do you believe Wick Grosbeck when he says if they build a new arena, it would be in conjunction with Jeremy Jacobs and the Bruins? Do you believe him when he says that Boston is a one arena town?
I do not. Because you know what? It's ultimately not going to be Wick's decision. So while that may be his view of how things should go with the Celtics, somewhere down the line, somebody else might very well be entitled, as owner of the team to say, guys, really would be to our financial benefit and also to Boston's benefit if we had another arena, because we can't have enough concerts, we can't have enough conventions, we can't have enough insert name of child-friendly service on ice here. Boston, I think, could actually handle more. What do you got? The Aganis over there. You got MGM at Fenway. But there's not another like 10,000 seat plus. I think Boston, perhaps in the greater Metro West area or just south of the city, could actually handle another 15, 18,000 seat arena.
Okay, so you just said something interesting, and I wonder how that would be received. Just south of the city or in Metro West or outside? Because he said, Wick did say Boston, and I don't know if he meant like Boston proper or he's saying the overall locale and the market, but you brought up the idea of that slight move. We were talking about the Browns' new stadium just outside of Cleveland. And
yeah, yesterday we were trying to figure out if there is another, is there a basketball / multifunction indoor arena, Andy, that is in like the surrounding metro outskirts of a major metropolitan area?
I don't know. That sounds like a question for Dan Ball, our personal AI.
I'm on it.
That actually wasn't Dan. That's pre-programmed into the machine now.
Dan's not even in the room right now.
Because I also wonder.
Chatbot Ball.
We all love, you know, we were down there at Scores. We love the garden and the vibe, right? And banners and Big Night Live.
It looks nicer than ever, by the way. I mean, it's not the OG, but it looks really nice down there now.
Do you now want to go watch the Celtics play, even if they're great? Let's just, because it's going to take 10 years before you get a building. They have the lease, and I heard Jones and Keefe talking about this. It took Ballmer like 10 years to get his in L.A. for the Clippers. It took the Warriors like 10 years between buying the team and then actually getting in the new arena. So let's just say it's 10 years. They're still good. Do you want to go to do you lose some buzz? Do you lose that downtown garden feel where all, as you said, the pizza, the bars, all these things? You gonna move with the team and go, I'm going to drive out to a parking lot in Metro West?
But what if they cleaned a house down? Where's a place that has a lot of shops, malls, the sort of infrastructure already? It's not happening there, but let's say Dedham. Or Norwood, or something like that.
Yeah, where we had the company holiday party, Andy. That area.
I don't love the idea. I'll be honest with you.
I hate it.
I love North Station. I love the tea, the opportunities, the buzz, the bars,
I love
the history.
The
super narrow streets, difficulty parking.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but nothing is. There's no
perfect answer. I'm playing gardens advocate right here.
And it's not the garden. It's the garden now, but it's in the, place of the old garden kind of thing. You have that historic, this is where it's always been idea. I do think it would take some getting used to, and I do think passionate green teamers might bristle. Like Stiz, you know, representing his peeps. At the idea, like, oh, North Station? No, not anymore. And we're
sometimes things need to evolve. Like, we're so in love with, you know, Gillette's getting old, but I love being in Foxborough, said nobody ever. You know, Fenway, it's America's most beloved ballpark. I don't care that when I sit in right field, I'm staring at the center field bleachers and not home plate. Plus, my knees are in someone else's neck. It's my Fenway, damn it. Oh, the Garden's always been there. Sometimes these things need to evolve. Like, sometimes you got to, you know, like to improve, sometimes you have to change.
And Wick also brought up something interesting from a player's perspective. Now, this isn't a revenue perspective, but they basically spend all their time at the Arbuck Center, like this beautiful state-of-the-art, their own place kind of thing. So it's not like their facilities are aging and shared and bad locker room. I think what he said, they spend like 4 hours a night, a couple nights a week at the Garden. That's it. Otherwise, they have their own beautiful facility right over here off the Pike, which... Also,
same with the Bruins.
How did they build all that? Because wouldn't that have been a nice place for a second arena? There's a lot of room.
No,
over
I mean
there.
They've built. I mean, you got the New Balance. You got
all
that over there.
You could have used all that for an arena.
What are you kidding me? There's like even more narrow roads over. There's no way they could have gotten in and out over there.
Well, I would assume there would be some infrastructure improvements that usually comes very easily through the legislature here.
Greater
in Boston.
Minds would have to prevail, I guess. Is there anywhere, could you guess, like...
The Brockton Fairgrounds? That's what they said on the text line.
There you go. Oh, my. Imagine the Celtics down in Brockton. How that... Now, that's... You want to talk about, like, some urban revitalization? That would be awesome.
Get Wiggy on board. He used to be the football coach there. I think it ended well. I'm not sure. I didn't follow the story till the conclusion.
Well, I'll give you an update during the break.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Just say it with confidence. I'm sure it's true.
Yeah, I'm sure it's true. No, I do not. I would not be, even though that would make it much easier on me, I could get to Celtics games in like a little over a half hour from my house. If
you
they
just have your kid be your driver like Greg Hill has drivers.
Yes, that would be great. But no, I think the Celtics, the Boston Celtics, should be in the city of Boston. And I'm old school. I'm like Stiz a little bit on this. They should be at the Garden.
The Celtics
North
play
Station.
At the Garden, full stop.
Wait, you know Stiz, they could call it the Garden.
No.
Oh, here we go.
The Garden.
They could call it the South Shore Garden.
Got it. This is perfect. Speaking of the South Shore Garden, this is genius. We have several people here on the text line saying, and I'm going to go ahead and interpret a 617 texter and a 508 texter. I grew up working there. My mom used to work there, but honestly, shopping malls are falling out of favor. The South Shore Garden, you just deep six the South Shore Plaza, you put in a new garden, wham. Problem solved.
Well, if we're just going to blow up malls and build an arena, let's put it right in Dartmouth. Then I can get there in like 5 minutes from my house. You got 195, you got 140, there's all these highways intersected. It'd be perfect.
And you'll be the only one there.
Oh. Yeah, let's not make city teams based off where Andy Hart lives.
We should get a studio there, then we can do shows live from the Garden in Dartmouth. That would be great. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to react throughout the show to Wick Grosbeck's comments on the Greg Hill show. Are you still feeling good about the sale of the Boston Celtics? Dan Ball has his hand raised, so I think he wants to say something.
And a catcher is still not an infielder. Thank you.
And a catcher is still not an infielder.
Stink.
He's on the outside looking in of that infield. We've got that debate going on, but it's 3 o'clock, or it's coming up on 3 o'clock. And reminder, Ted Johnson's off today, but that doesn't stop us. 3-point stance is coming up here on WEEI Afternoons.